Right out of the box this afternoon, we're joined by former Maine Black Bear, New York Jet, Kansas City Chief, and all-around good guy, Mike DeVito, joining us. Mike, how are you, my friend?
Rich, I'm doing great. Hey, I haven't got to speak to you since the Black Bear season ended up there with the football team, but congratulations on a great season. I know you're just as much part of that team as everybody else in that organization. So you and Bob did a fantastic job, and what just a fun season to watch. So from a proud alumni, thank you for a year up there.
Oh, it was such a fun year. A good bunch of guys to be around, and just a great opportunity for us as broadcasters. But I tell you, I think there's more to come with that team, even with the coaching changes. Nick Charlton's got himself an awfully good nucleus coming back next year, and I've already seen a couple of people project that Maine might be a top five going into next season.
Yeah, you know what I love about it too, Rich? The one thing they've done going from Coach Coz to Coach H to Nick now, it's like, you know, all three of those guys have different leadership styles and a little bit different philosophies, but the core of what, you know, what Black Bear football is all about has been the same. And I think that a lot of times an organization will make a change and they'll bring in an entire new staff with an entire new philosophy. And sometimes that takes some, you know, that has some growing pains with it. That's, you know, takes a couple of years to get going. But the way the organization has done it, keeping guys that are part of that part of that coaching nucleus, and just basically handed off the baton each year, I think that's allowed them to kind of, you know, steer away from that. Well, let's have a rebuilding year now. You know, where it's like, no, the philosophy is just going to change a little bit, but this is Black Bear football through and through. You know, and there's no massive philosophy change, and I think that played into their success the past couple of years, and I think that's going to continue with Nick now. And you're right, and with the core of guys they have, forget it. I mean, things are looking bright up there in Orono, no doubt.
Now, how about another one of your former teams, the Chiefs? Will they take care of business this weekend?
I really like the way the Chiefs are playing. It's funny, I was just talking the other day to one of my buddies who I played with when we were out there on defense, Hussein Abdullah. And we were saying, man, we would have just had Patrick Mahomes 3 years ago. Forget it. We would have been, you know, we would have been unstoppable. So, yeah, I'm a little bit jealous. I got to admit, I've sat here a couple nights thinking, geez, could I have made it 3 more years? Like, could I have hung in there for 3 more years so I got a chance to play on this team? But it's been fantastic to watch. I think they are going to do really well. I think they have a really good shot to take this thing all the way, at least to the Super Bowl. I think when you look at what they bring on offense, Rich, and all the different weapons that they have, even with Kareem Hunt not in the backfield anymore, the offense really hasn't missed a beat. And so I think that, you know, the challenge this year has been defensively. There's some new guys at some key positions. And that Rex Ryan defense that Bob Sutton brought over there, it really, really is important in that defense to have a solid nose tackle and two solid middle linebackers. And, you know, when you think of the history of that defense, it's been Tony Saragusa, it's been Kelly Gregg, Sione Puha, and then it's Bart Scott and Ray Lewis and Derek Johnson and Dontari Poe when we were out there in Kansas City. I think this year they have a rookie nose tackle, and they have two new inside linebackers that have come from different places. And so I think that has played into the growing pains for them on defense, because they just have new guys at key spots in that, in that defensive scheme that they run. But that being said, the offense, I mean, if you can't score 30 points, you're going to have a tough time beating KC. So I like their chances. I like that everything has to go through Arrowhead. It's a really fun place to play. I mean, literally, Rich, the ground shakes. When our defense is on the field, that ground shakes. And I haven't been too many stadiums that are like that, where the stands, you know, the fans are that into it. So I like their chances. The only thing that worries me a little bit is just KC's playoff history, especially the past, you know, couple of years, hasn't been great. Well, actually, the past, you know, 6 years since I was out there. So I think they can get over that hump this year, and I think the major factor there is Patrick Mahomes.
We're talking with Mike DeVito here on Downtown. Well, Mike, since you retired, you've been working in broadcasting. You did the games on television with Dan Hannigan for a couple of seasons. You've been working with our friend Jim Churchill and the crew over at 92.9 on The Drive. But you've got a new venture right now, and it seems like from seeing your promotion of it, but also from listening to the first episode, that this is right in line with what you'd really like to do in broadcasting. It's a podcast that you put together with Aaron Jackson and Sterling Pingree called The 3-Point Stance.
Yeah, Rich, this is really exciting. I appreciate you bringing it up because this is really a fun project that Aaron and Sterling and I sat down and said, okay, you know, let's take a year and let's work on this project. And really the thesis or the idea behind it is to have, you know, to deal with sports, but to use sports as the catalyst to have conversations in some of these bigger areas, religion, politics, you know, the things that my wife is always kicking me under the table because I'm bringing up, you know, at dinner time when we have friends over. But this is the area that I really enjoy talking about. I really love talking about those things that a lot of people, you know, try to avoid. And throughout my years in the NFL, having spent 9 years, I got a chance to meet some incredible people and have these conversations at a deep level in the locker room. And I remember so many times, Rich, saying, man, I wish I just would have written this down or had this recorded, or because this is so good. There's so much to this. And so just getting to see other people's perspectives on religion and on politics and coming at these very difficult issues, but in a winsome way, in a respectful way, and learning and growing, you know, in these areas. And so that's really helped me as a person. That's something that I'm motivated to do. I want to learn and grow. And so, yeah, that's what this podcast is about. I've really pinpointed and locked down a dozen or so guests that I'd really like to sit down and talk to about these issues, people that I know have really well thought out opinions, and I've had some good conversations with. The paradigm case being DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who we opened up with. I don't know if I've met a person that just is so systematic in his thinking and so deep with how he approaches things. And so that was a great way to start it off. And we've already recorded a couple more episodes. Some episodes will be more sports focused. We do have some guests that'll, you know, we'll be talking a lot more sports. But I also try to, again, get into religion and philosophy and politics and things along those lines as well. But a lot of these episodes will be focused in those arenas. And just trying to have good conversations and trying to have conversations dealing with tough topics and see what the outcome is. Because I feel like, Rich, I don't know if you feel this way too, but I think when you look at the world today, and especially in the West, it seems like there are a lot of issues. But I feel like one issue is people just don't know how to disagree well. I think the one thing that really motivated me to get this thing going was the recent meeting between Donald, you know, President Trump and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. That one that was about the border wall, and they put it, you know, they had the cameras and everything in the White House. And I just remember thinking, you know, no matter where you stand on that issue, I think it's hard to sit back and not say, wow, this is just a bad display of having a conversation.
You know, I feel like we all want the people that we voted to represent us. We'd all like them in the big picture. Whatever your political point of view is, you'd like people to act like grownups and have conversations and get back to the art of compromise and getting things done.
Oh, that's exactly right, Rich. That's exactly right. And it reminded me, and again, this is nothing against, I know political stuff can get really heated, and I can't imagine being a politician and dealing with those things. But not any disrespect to those people, but it did kind of seem like the way my 5-year-old and 2-year-old disagree about things. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's his fault. No, it's their fault. It's his fault. No, their fault. And it's just like, oh, man. So I thought about it. And I was thinking, you know what? I wanted to do this podcast. It's easy for me to sit here and, you know, critique people. But how am I going to go out and make any kind of difference? And so, again, another, I guess, broad scope looking at this podcast is hopefully – when it's all said and done, and this is something I'm practicing on as well, I certainly don't have this mastered, but I'm hoping it's an example of how to have good disagreement, right? My point is not to bring on people that I agree with, but people that I know that I have a ton of respect for that I disagree with in a lot of these areas, and to see how these conversations play out. We've recorded 3 of them so far, and I can tell you, Rich, it's not easy, right? It's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, yeah, we're going to have these good conversations and we'll disagree. And then I get on there And I'm like, wow, this is a lot harder. This is a lot harder than I thought.
Well, yeah, and part of it, too, the nature of this business, unfortunately, I think, radio, talk radio, has gone, I think, the way in the last decade or so of the hot takes. And there's no discussion. Right. It's me shouting my opinions, you shouting yours. And there is no discussion. There's no chance to see things from the other person's perspective. And I listened to the first episode that you guys dropped yesterday. And what a terrific conversation. First of all, man, I'm a even bigger fan of DeBrickashaw Ferguson now after hearing that conversation. What a great guy. But it was grown up, intelligent kind of conversations that you'd like to hear regular people have, but our leaders have as well.
Yeah, that means so much, Rich. That means so much coming for you, because that's exactly what we're going for. And it's tough because I've had two other guests on after Brick, and it's like, I wish I was on their intellectual level. You know, it's almost like I'm going to have to hire another host that's, you know, much smarter than I am, so he can get there with, you know, the DeBrickashaws. But that, you're right. And it was so, and like, I was able to learn and grow, and I recognize, and what I've learned throughout these conversations, having difficult conversations with people throughout my career and now getting into the podcast, is that context is key. I know I grew up in a certain area. I grew up with certain, you know, parents who taught me certain things. And I have this, whether I want to recognize it or not, kind of, you know, echo chamber that I'm in. And I've had a lot of these arguments and recognized, you know, throughout my career, and recognized, wow, this is a blind spot. And I was wrong about this issue. And if you would, you know, until I actually sat down and had those conversations, I would have thought, you know, I never would have questioned these things. There's nothing better, Rich, than to sit there and learn that you're wrong about something and to fix your opinion and fix your point of view. And so, and DeBrickashaw has time and time again, as I've sat down, you know, and had one point of view, one stance that I was really passionate about, and then sat down in a respectful way and talked it through and came out on the other side and recognized, wow, I was wrong. I was wrong and he was right. And I got to change my mind and change my opinion. And I felt like that's so profound. And so, again, I wanted to have that on tape so I can go back and remember those things and at the same time hopefully set an example for others.
Well, how much of this too, Mike, people may not know that since you've gotten out of football, you've worked very hard and you finished up your master's degree. And is it in theology, I believe?
Yes, yeah, so I have my master's degree from Houston Baptist University in theology. And now I'm about halfway through my master's degree in philosophy at the University of Edinburgh. And so the hope there is to go on to get a PhD in philosophy. But, you know, it's funny, the more and more I realize what goes into a PhD, you know, when somebody has, that doctor before their name, they have earned that, because it is it is not easy. So I'm fighting and clawing and trying to make this, you know, change to the academic world, you know, and get up to the pros. But this hill is a lot steeper than it was with football. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad you brought that up as well, Rich, because having dealt with theology and specifically philosophers and philosophers of theology, I've watched debates, I've gone to conferences, and they are exactly what you're looking for when you're talking about having difficult conversations. I've seen people disagree on the broadest, you know, issues that people are ready to fight over, right? Whether it be abortion or whatever, you know, super, you know, moral issues where people are on polar opposite sides. And these philosophers will get up there and have an intelligent, back and forth, rigorous debate, right? Passionate debate. And then at the end, they'll go sit down, they'll have lunch. And it's like, you're almost shocked to watch it, because like, these guys were just going at it on stage, you know, and now they're sitting down, eating and hanging out, and they're friends. It's like, that also played into it. Like, as I continue to study philosophy and grow, it's like, there's nobody that does it better, I feel like, when it comes to arguing well than philosophers generally speaking. I know if I was a politician, I was thinking about this, like if I was the president of the United States, I would have three philosophers with me at all times. Like every decision I made, I wear my philosophers. Like I need my philosophers to help me think this through. Because it's like these people think professionally, like their job is to sit around and think well about difficult topics. And they do it in such a, generally speaking, in such a profound way. And so that you're right. That has motivated me as well as I study philosophy, study theology, to dive into these areas. You know, I have a tough time right now, Rich, these past 3 years, sitting back and just watching some of the stuff that's going on in this world. And it's easy to just sit here in my own little my own little chamber, you know, echo chamber, and stay at arm's reach from things. And it finally, I'm like, you know what? I can't just sit back anymore. Like, I know I'm one person. I can't change the world. And there's so many different things that go into this. But what's one thing I can do that I'm passionate about, you know, that might be able to make a difference? And so this was that project.
Well, more thinking, good for all of us, and anything that will elevate the level of discourse, I'm all for that. You know who else is a philosophy guy? Coach Nick Charlton was a philosophy major in college.
It's funny, Rich. The first time I met Nick, that was the first thing I talked to him about. That was because I was working for, you know, for the TV, for doing the games up there in Orono, and I had to go and interview the coaches. And I sat down with him, and that was the first thing I asked Nick was, tell me about philosophy. I believe did he get his degree at Boston College?
Yes, he did.
Yes, I was, because that's like prime time philosophy. I mean, that program is fantastic for pumping out, you know, top rate philosophers. So I couldn't wait to sit down and talk with them. And now I know, just having a background in that, I can tell you that program again is going to succeed because he's a thinker. Like, he's not just going to make an impulsive decision. He's not going to make an emotional decision. He's going to think about things and make a well thought out decision because that's what he's learned. That's what his discipline is. So. Yeah, that's a great point. I really like Nick, and I think he's going to do really well up there.
The podcast is called The 3-Point Stance. It's available on iTunes. Episode 1 dropped yesterday. I really enjoyed you guys talking with DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and look forward to what's coming up next week. And, Mike, it's great to talk with you. Wish you and your partners great luck on this, and, as always, appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. And I'll pull for your Chiefs this weekend, no doubt about it.
Rich, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And talking about the media side of things, and it's like you guys set the example up there. So I really appreciate what you've done, especially with the program up there. And it's always an honor to come on the show. So thank you, Rich.
Well, thank you, Mike. We'll talk again soon.
Bye now.
That's Mike DeVito. The podcast is called The 3-Point Stance, not to be confused with Tim Bissell's 3-Pint Stance every Thursday here on Downtown. One is philosophy, one is beer. Sometimes they go together, though, but it's really good. I enjoyed the first one with DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who was a really fascinating guy. And Mike DeVito, if there's a nicer guy around, I haven't met him yet. He's awesome, so hope it goes well for them.